I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Now, here we have, as I said, the rabbi giving his priestly blessing. Incidentally, this is why judges in a courtroom wear the black robe. The judges rule, we're told, from something called the bench. The word bench in Latin means bank. Bank and bench mean the same thing in Latin. So when you hear the word bench, just know, go look up in the Latin dictionary, and it will tell you the word means bank, where you put your money. It's called bench. So consequently, the judge rules from the bench. He's ruling for the bank, and these the judges are wearing the black robe. The black robe of the rabbis is the same black robe of the Catholic priest, is the same black robe that you wear when you graduate from high school and university. The black robe is the robe of Saturn, the Saturnalian black robe, which means that you are a member of the Saturnalian Brotherhood, or the Brotherhood of Saturn. It goes back to the old Babylonian, Sumerian, Phoenician, Canaanite deity worship of the planet Saturn. And the priest of Saturn always, the reference work says, wear the long black robes. So when you go into a courtroom or a synagogue or a church and you see, or a university or college where people are graduating wearing the long black robe, understand that this is the black robe of the planet Saturn. It is a symbol of an ancient occult priesthood. And I, for one, have had enough of this stuff. Consequently, here's the blessing, and this is why Mr. Spock is a Vulcan. Now, if you remember that there was an ancient priesthood in Northern Europe, all over Western Europe, referred to as the Celtic Druids. And in the Druidic priesthood, which is a very powerful occult priesthood in Northern Europe, even 500 to 1,000 years before Rome, in that area of the world that we call Northern and Central Europe, there was a priesthood called the Celtic Druids. And one of the most important symbols in Druidic religion was the magic wand, like Merlin hit the magician with his magic wand. Magic wands were always made out of holly wood, okay? And they're still working their magic on us in Hollywood. There is a concerted effort that is put together purposely, designed to entertain the human intellect, to entertain the human psyche, at the same time subverting the morality, the judgment, the understanding of the human mind, and manipulating it in such a way as to ultimately one day have a race of people on the earth who do not know they're behind from a hole in the ground. They have no concept of where divinity comes from, no concept of individual rights or freedoms or liberties or sovereignty. All they understand is big top peewee, basketball, and Hulkamania. And somewhere, sometime, somehow, the world is going to become aware of who these people are and how they have been playing games with us. I don't like being treated like a fool. These people who would consider themselves our masters have designed a system that they know entertains us all the way out the door, and we never saw it coming. And we pay for this. I want them to know that I am their devout enemy. Word meanings in the New Testament. Ecclesia is a regular word in the New Testament for church, and the word is feminine. This is important. The very word church is feminine. The word is feminine. However, the word church, C-H-U-R-C-H, is an English word that goes back to a Scottish word, Kirk, K-I-R-K, like Captain Kirk of the starship Enterprise, which implies that the church is the basis for the enterprise. And that's what Anuit Coeptus on the top of the dollar bill means. Our enterprise, our Anuit Coeptus, our enterprise or our project is now a success. And Novus Ordo Seclorum underneath the pyramid is new order of the world, the new world order. Our enterprise is now a success. Captain Kirk. Kirk is Scottish for the English word church. So the church is actually the brains behind this enterprise of ripping us off spiritually. and given the basis and the fundamental basis for this kind of corruption by telling people that they have a divine right of kings as long as the papacy blesses the king and the king can now rule his subjects because the Pope says so? No. The religious institutions of this world and the Western world are among the filthiest and most degenerate systems the world has ever allowed to exist. They are filled with lies, deceptions, misunderstandings, and they provide the basis for the tyranny that we now live under in this country. I believe the only salvation we have is to expose the religious, social, institutional foundations of this whole massive conspiracy, and then when the people wake up and find out what they have lost, what they have given up purposely because they were led to believe something that wasn't true. And our masters have planned it that way. And I've always believed that this is the important part of exposing this thing, is showing where the religion of these people have come from. Now, as I said, the word church in English comes from the word kirk, K-I-R-K in Scottish, but the word kirk can be traced back to the Greek word cerse, C-E-R-E-S, cerse or cerse. Cerse, and of course you'll remember that the word church was feminine, because cerse, or Circe, was feminine. And Circe was the female goddess. Here's the Carthaginian rendition of Circe. Circe was the female goddess in the ancient world. The divine enchantress, she was the daughter of the Greek sun god Helios. Let's see. As soon on the bottom, it says, as soon as the new arrivals. Basically, Circe possessed great magical powers which she used to transform her enemies or those who have offended her into animals. The story in the Greek legends about Circe was that she was the great mother who could work magic on humans and take their mind from them and turn them into pigs and animals. And consequently, then we got Kirk, and today we have church. So that today, Mother Church is able to take regular, normal human beings and turn them into idiots, right? Yeah. In Greek legend, here's from the reference work, Circe. In Greek legend, Circe was a sorceress, notorious for changing men into swine. I'm not saying this. The reference works are saying it. And this is where you get the word church. Incidentally, Circe also serves as the basis for such words as circle and circus. And, of course, that's what the church is. It's a circus keeping people going in circles. Here she is, Circe. The great goddess, Mother Church. The church is ruled over, and incidentally, you might want to ask yourself, how come the Pope wears the Jewish yarmulke? You need to start looking at some of these symbols in the church and find out that all of this stuff goes back to ancient secret societies and priesthoods who have been very well situated to do what they're doing. They're very highly intelligent people who know what they're doing. They're ripping us off, coming and going, and we haven't even got the faintest idea about how it all works. Now, that's tape one.
One of the spellings there was C-E-R-E-S, which is Ceres.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the commanders.
You see, this all goes back to the ancient world. And I'm saying that that these people have used terms, words, symbols, concepts, ideas that go all the way back into the ancient world and have used them. That's why even in Christianity we're told that the devil doesn't do anything new. He usually only uses what's there. So I'm saying, not saying that there's anything wrong with the words. I'm saying the people who have used these terms and are now, mutating the ideas. They're changing everything around to suit their new agenda. I think it's fascinating how these ancient words, what they actually meant, and the actual ancient concepts, and how the modern day manipulators have used certain terms, emblems, symbols to manipulate our thinking. It's a very high science. That was that. Okay, you know, yeah, 10. Here's number 10.
Yahweh.
Wasn't
that translated? Now that was four letters of the alphabet.
Yes.
Now, you cannot pronounce the word in English using four consonants. on the other hand, they come up with YHWH.
Right, right.
Which is unpronounceable. But also, the Bibles were not written in English.
That's right.
So you're taking a symbology that was probably Aramaic or maybe even farther back than that,
mm-hmm.
into the Sanskrit and even before that. And you've decided to call it whatever you want to call it. And it's like Ceres or Circe. These are feminine. The word church or Circe is feminine. So is Ceres, meaning the feminine aspect of God.
Yes.
And that's why I said that these terms come from a very ancient time, but the people, these ancient people who are still manipulating us today, are aware of these terms, and they have misused them, construed them, and this is a whole science today of the science of languages, how to manipulate peoples and courts, the court language, you know, the language of the system. Incidentally, the word system, I don't know if you know this, but the word system comes from a Latin word that was used in the Roman Empire for the sewer. The sewer was called the system. I'm serious. And today we still have a legal sewer system. The entire system is a sewer. Period. And I'm tired of living in a sewer. Yeah, all right. Now here we have, let's see, this is 10. This is the last part of carousel number 10, which is the final part of the carousel before it, which was showing pictures of the church and state, all of the holy men of the world with all the religious and political leaders shaking hands and holding hands, showing the connection between church and state. However, we'll get past church and state, and this is a very emotionally moving... yeah. And she's smiling because she's, thinking, these people don't actually believe this stuff, do they? Here he is, offering everyone to come to church with him. Yeah. Now here's the Pope at the UN. Now we go on to the new subject. One more time. Now, a door. Well, let's go back to this. A door. A door is a symbol to another... dimension. Doors have always been the symbol to another dimension and moving on to another place. The pharaohs would go through the door when they died and go to the next world through the door. Doors are gateways at the entrance to the realm of the dead. Here we have, for instance, the door in the Shinto shrine in Japan, the way of the gods, and there is the door, the holy door, the wooden gateway. You'll see where I'm going with this in a moment. Here we have the holy door, the gateway. Now we have something called Heaven's Gate. If you remember the Heaven's Gate guy.
You heard about that here.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But this whole thing about Heaven's Gate is interesting because, the key to the gate, Heaven's Gate. But this is interesting. Where does this concept of Heaven's Gate and the door come from? In the old Akkadian seal impressions, In the old Akkadian seal, we have the one of the ancient deities representing going through the holy door. Okay, you'll see the deity going through the holy door, the gate or the door of the gods. Here we have in the old, I think it was Inca. Construction of the holy door. It's called the sun door of the Incas, the holy door to the temple, or the holy door. Here we have, I think this is in Indonesia, if I'm not mistaken, the holy door. Here it's called the winged sun door. Yeah, this winged sun door of the Hindu Solamatip in Indonesia, right. So here we have the gate, Heaven's Gate or Heaven's Door, the sun door. Okay. Here we have the same concept of in Egypt. Here again we have I think this is one of the old South American, either Aztec or Mayan, sun door. Here it is again, the sun god and over the sun gate or the sun door. This universal belief in the sun door. This is important. The universal belief in the sun door of immortality. Gateway of the sun. Here it is, the sun door. So we're talking about heaven's gate, the sun door. Now we're talking about the millennial preparations coming, and this is from the Catholic News Service. With fewer than 880 days left before Pope John Paul opens, quote, the holy door for the Jubilee year of 2000. This is the great event that calls them all to Rome. Pope John Paul is going to open the holy door for the Jubilee. In a colorful ceremony at the beginning of the holy year, 1950, Pius XII, a good friend of Adolf Hitler, broke the sealed Porta Santa, or the holy door. Here he is going through the holy door. Colorful ceremony at the beginning of, there it is again, I just read it. And here he is going through the holy door. Here today, the Pope living today, going through the holy door. One of the most solemn events in the church's calendar is the opening of the holy door, or heaven's gate, it's called, the holy door. The Pope immediately after entering the basilica, incidentally, basilica in Latin means kingdom. The Pope immediately after entering the basilica through the holy door. Just remember that this all goes back to the old Babylonian, Sumerian God going through the holy door, the heaven's gate. And that's it. So that's the Pope leading everybody through God's heavenly gate. Now we come to fascism. Fascism is an authoritative political movement that developed in Italy and several other European countries in 1919. But the point I'm making here is that fascism, its name was derived from the fasces, or an ancient Roman symbol of authority consisting of a bundle of rods and an axe. Here we have the symbol of the fasci, or the fasces. And incidentally, you'll see it's on a red shield. That is a symbol of a fasces, or the symbol of world fascism. Okay? Again, I draw your attention to the fact that this fasci, symbol of world fascism, its name was derived from the fasces, an ancient Roman symbol, a Roman symbol of authority consisting of a bundle of rods and an axe. Political life under fascism. In most cases, fascists have come to power after a nation has suffered an economic collapse, that's us, a military defeat, that's us, and some other disaster, and that's us. The fascist party wins mass support by promising to revive the economy and restore national pride. How many times have we heard our fascist leaders talking about we need to revive the economy and restore our national pride? Opposition may lead to imprisonment, torture, and death. The government also controls newspapers, radios, and all means of communications in its country. It issues propaganda to promote its policies. Yeah, that's us. Again, I'm drawing your attention to this fasci as a symbol of ancient Roman symbol of authority. And there it is. Now, here it is in more modern day, during the French Revolution, the fasci. Here in the papacy in Rome, you'll see some of the leading fascists meeting in Rome with the papacy. Here is Mussolini signing the treaty with the papacy in the Vatican for the Vatican's support of world fascism. Here we have Eugenio Cardinal Pacelli, who later on became Pope Pius XII. Pope Pius XII, very good friend and supporter of Adolf Hitler, with all of, this is Franz von Papen, Vatican Secretary, Ambassador to the Vatican from the Nazis. Here is all of the fascists representing Mussolini, showing that the church is quite at home dealing with world fascism. They should be. They came up with the idea. Consequently, I mean, this is a Roman symbol of authority. Well, that's what we're talking about, Rome. And here we have Mussolini with his bloodletting fascist meeting with the church officials again. So we see this fasci As it's used on flags and coats of arms, it's used quite often. People just don't see it, but it's there. There it is again. Mussolini, Benito Mussolini, and here's the fascists again. Now, all of this I'm showing you to prepare you. Here's a traditional symbol of republicanism was the fascists. That might explain something, too. Here it is on playing cards. The kings and jacks carry the fasci. Now, on American coins, we now see on American coins the fasci. American dimes. Remember the old mercury dimes? Had the fasci. Here in the president with the vice president and the speaker of the house, and you will see on both sides of the podium the fasci. There it is blown up. Enlarged. So, if you wonder why this country acts like a bunch of fascists, it's because they are. This is a fascist, totalitarian dictatorship of the people by a small handful, select group of fascists. Commune, Nazi, fascist. Here is the United States Senate, the seal of the United States Senate with the crossing of the fascists. Here is Rome, the first century A.D. Rome. This is important. Rome in the first century. Rome was ruled, the seat of power in the Roman Empire was called the capital. And the capital was built on a hill that was later called Capitoline Hill. Capitoline Hill or Capitol Hill. And it was said that when Caesar would go to the Senate, he would go, quote, up on the hill. And today we still have the Capitol up on the hill. And we still have senators at the Senate with Caesar and all of them wearing their robes thinking they're God. And they're probably blowed out on mushrooms.
Or alcohol.
Or Coke or anything else. Now, here is a view of the Capitoline. There it is, Capitol Hill. Here is Capitoline Hill in Rome, the first century. Here again we have Capitoline Hill. And there is the... Capitoline Hill, the Sacred Way. Where is it? We have the Temple of Juno Monita. I don't see it right now. But anyway, there was a temple called Juno Monita. Yeah, there it is. Temple of Juno Monita, which is where we get our word money. Up on Capitol Hill, they minted money in the Temple of Juno Monita. So that's where they minted the money in the Roman Empire, up on Capitol Hill. Incidentally, in the reference work in the Bible, you look up the word Zion, and you will see that the word Zion means permanent capital. That's what the word Zion means, capital. It goes back to the old word Ion. And that's a whole different story, too, when you understand what Ion means. But it goes back to the word being a permanent capital. Here we have in Samaria, the hill, and the fortress was up on the hill, the sacred temple, the royal enclosure of the old Phoenician, Canaanite, Babylonian, Masonic royal enclosure with the pool in the foreground. If you'll remember in Washington, D.C., they had the pool in the foreground. Here it is, the old capital in Samaria, the capital in what the pool, sacred pool. The 33rd degree and the 34th. Now, we ended up with that. Now we go to a quickie on Freemasonry and the 32nd degree. And the double-headed eagle. The eagle in Babylonian Sumerian tradition, the eagle symbolized the sun. And this is why Rome had the symbol of the eagle representing the sun. And today the American symbol for America is the American eagle. But very few people are aware that in the reference work, all reference works, go back and look on the Babylonian, Sumerian, Phoenician, Canaanite, ancient world and the Middle East. And what was the symbol for the sun? It was the eagle. And the double-headed eagle of Freemasonry symbolized, it goes back to an old Hittite symbol in the ancient Hittite culture, representing the idea that God has oversight, God has oversight over both the Eastern world and the Western world, both sides, you know, both ends of the earth, the East and the West, the same divine sun god or the same divine priest of the ancient order of the sun have divine control over both sides, East and West. And incidentally, the sun, of course, was always pictured as having two wings. Remember the round sun and the two wings, the round sun in Egypt and in the ancient world, the sun had two wings. And this is why today the reference books in Freemasonry will tell you that's why we have left and right wing politics, because it's divinely ordained by the ancient sun gods or the sun orders of Freemasonry. So we have left and right wing Freemasonry, left and right wing government. Because the old ancient order of the sun had two wings. And of course, the triangle perched on top of a pyramid, symbol of the sun. The reason why in Freemasonry we have a 33rd degree is because God's son, the Messiah, or God's son, dies at 33. If you remember, we're told in the Bible Jesus died at 33, and since nobody can go higher than that, the 33rd degree. Now, the reason why all of this we can get into later at another meeting and another time when I get into astral theology, but it's just interesting to see how these symbols are all connected. Here in Albania, the double-headed eagle, and it's on the red square. Incidentally, you'll see that that's a red square. That's important, too. Here's the double-headed eagle. Again, the heads worn on imperial crowns. The point I'm making here is that the double-headed eagle of the Byzantine and pre-revolutionary Russian empires was derived from the old Hittite symbol of the twin gods of power. That's that. At this point, I have quite a bit to go, but at this point, I'm going to ask, since it's 4 o'clock, what do we want to do? Do we want to take a break and come back for a little bit? Or, take a break and come back and do a little bit more? Good. Then I officially call a break. We're going to do the slides again. Yes. You'll see in just a minute. All right, we're going to start the slide presentation again. And I'd like to, for those of you who are still here, I'd like to make you aware that I have a lot of what you're seeing today in the slide presentation. I already have on a video over here on the table. It's a 90-minute video on basically the same material I've been showing you today is on the video. It's a 90-minute video, and I have an accompanying book called Symbols, Sex, and the Stars. It's a very interesting book on all the occult and hidden symbolism in religion. And it's one of the best books I've ever read on the subject, Symbols, Sex, and the Stars. And that's the name of the video also. Yes?
May we tell our listening audience, our table audience, and the paper audience how to get
these? Oh, yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, would you mind going over and getting one of the videos for me? And it's got all...